So I'm not giving the ultimate talk. We've just had the ultimate talk. So mine's the talk before that. So I'm a quiet sort of person with a quiet voice. And I can't match that sort of energy. Not now. Fantastic talk. It's one of the things that makes me really... I've been really weeping these few days to be here with the order. This is unexpected. I thought I would be talking about myself in the third person, so I'm quite pleased to be in my emotions. Right. I'm going to ask all those people in the room who have cancer or who've had cancer to raise their hands. So we can just look around and see, you know, there's more people than we perhaps realise. And can I ask those people, if you can keep your hands up, and if I can ask those people who are suffering from some sort of life-threatening, disease or illness to raise their hands. So a few more hands go up. And can I ask those, we all keep our hands up, and can I ask those people to raise their hands who know directly, no degree of separation, who know directly somebody is ill in their family or their friends or in the order. Just look around. Thank you. Old age, sickness, death, it's among us. It's in us. It's between us. I retired last November. I'm 62. I've outlived my father by 12 years. I've outlived his father by about 13 years. I've outlived one of his brothers by 20 odd years. We all die of heart attacks. I had a bit of a heart attack episode a couple of years ago. I thought, there it is. I need to start thinking, how much do I need to save for old age? How long am I going to live? I didn't know the answers then. I'm a bit clearer now. But it's interesting to have, you know, to take up the DNA of my family and assume that that's what I'm going to die of. Of course, if I'm really good, I might die of a heart attack before I die of cancer. But I was diagnosed with cancer on April the 5th after a rather painful episode with blood and passing it. And I've been thinking about that since. The day after, I was at a regional order weekend in Manchester, and it was interesting to walk into the order and knowing my condition and revealing it. But it was also the day that my partner, Artra Shraddar, who was ordained 2 years ago, she decided that she really wanted to work wholeheartedly in the movement and had got dissatisfied with our yoga business and we'd not been able to contribute. So the day that she was up in Dharna Kosha confirming that she was going to have a job there was the day I rang up and said, I've got cancer. So I was quite pleased. She decided I wasn't quite pleased. I was ecstatic that she decided to follow her trail, to follow her destiny. And I was very unhappy to, you know, that something in me that I couldn't control, her response was wholeheartedly, I'm here, I'm for you, I'm not going to do that. I've lived all my life, I've lived with a woman, except for a few years, about 5 or 6 years, and part of my long-term working out of some sort of quite barely conscious karma was about working out how to live by myself. And I felt that by now, at 62, that something was happening and I felt confident enough in myself to live without a partner. So I was looking forward to this as a development in myself and as a development for her. Over the last year or two, I'd bought quite a lot of stuff that I was buying and thinking, this is good enough quality to exist, to serve me to the end of my life. So I bought camping gear, decent camping gear, and I bought myself a really decent touring bike. And I envisioned this summer of being, you know, just cycling around the country, cycling around Scotland, turning up here on my bike, being, you know, bright red and fatigued and things like that. That's all gone. I can. There are some days I can barely walk. I'm very well at the moment. I'm in between treatments, and I've had 2 weeks off my drugs, and my cancer is without symptoms. So actually, I feel as good as I'm going to feel. Okay, let's move on from that. One of the things that occurred to me is that, my prognosis isn't great. People with my condition, 50% die within 2 years, 8% survive to 5 years. One in three of us are going to get cancer. By 2020, it's estimated one in two will get cancer. The treatment for cancer is improving greatly. For example, prostate cancer, the success rate is stunning. It's something like 96%. My cancer, sometimes if you catch it early enough, then it's okay, you survive. It's symptomless, and you don't know you've got it, so my cancer has advanced to stage 4, and that's why the prognosis is so bad. But the medical establishment are trying to make it a chronic disease rather than a terminal disease. So the medicines I take are to keep you stable for as long as possible. They're incredibly expensive. It's not pleasant taking them. And actually, they don't seem to last that long. They don't increase the prognosis that long. But anyway, that's a decision to make down the line. But one of the first thoughts was, I'm going to die. It's going to be in a certain time period. Why do I have to follow the law? Is there anybody I want to kill? And nobody came to mind. But be very, very careful. But then on a more conventional basis, I thought, well, I don't have to follow convention. You know, I'm conditioned by my culture, by my Englishness, by being a man, by being an order member. I was at the NBC recently where an opportunity was missed. And there was a scheduled talk, and the talk was given, and I was really, really disappointed. I thought, you know, here's a gathering of people who are hungry for the Dharma. And I was in the audience, and I didn't feel that the Dharma had been adequately communicated. And that raised two things for me. One was, I've been thinking about this for 10 minutes, I could just stand up and give a bullet point. I'll just stand up and say what's... But I don't feel enough urge to break the convention of perhaps embarrassing the speaker or embarrassing the audience and getting up and saying, but this is what should have been said, this is it. And I sort of regret it now. So if you see me in the audience, you better perform, please. Yeah. But I like the nerve. And two things came out of that. Am I willing to break conventions? I hope so. I hope that develops for the well-being of us all. But also the fact that I didn't give feedback to the people involved. And one of the things I've noticed is, I remember when I was in the ordination process, there did seem to be a process of encouraging speakers and giving a critique, not a criticism, you know, but just helping people to get better. And I'd really like us to help each other to get better by giving feedback, because almost invariably, in every talk I go to, even though the talks are sometimes, I'm afraid, bad, somebody always goes up to the speaker and says, oh, that was really good. I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad that that person has enjoyed it. But I also think that we need, you know, really good feedback to help us, our technique, to, you know, we are all committed, you know, to reveal our commitment, to let it shine. So that was one thing came out of it. Another thing that's an ongoing thing for me is self-centeredness. When you're ill, I've noticed in non-Buddhists, and I've perhaps noticed in Buddhists, there's a real tendency to talk about ourselves. You know, it's understandable. I think it's normal. But there's an example where I talked to a friend, and he'd recently had a kidney operation. I've had a kidney out, so I opened our communication saying, "Oh, I've just had an operation that's remarkably similar to your operation." And he then went on to talk about himself for a long time. I wanted a dialogue. I wanted a dialogue to share experiences and be empathetic with each other. But then last weekend, I was embarrassed myself. I think Lorcan Dora's here. I've seen him in the audience, and he asked me how I was, and so I gave him a really good explanation. And I didn't ask him about his own condition. I'd read about his own condition, and I knew at some level that he was suffering from cancer and that he was having major surgery. And then he just said, "Yeah, my operation went well." And he, in the best way, humiliated me and taught me that I was going down a road I didn't want to go down. So actually, I was just spotted him. So thank you, Logan Dora. That was great. So other things are arising. I had the pleasure to attend a four-week session that Ratnaguna did on reflection, and I took as my homework to be mortality. And what has come up, or what is coming up, it's an ongoing process, is I want to die cleanly. So I've started to dispose of my possessions. I've got a lot of books, a lot of books I was going to read when I retired. And sure enough, I did. I have always enjoyed reading. When I was a teenager, I'd always have my nose in a book. And I'm quite a well-read person. But when I gave up work, I was spending all day, every day reading. It was fantastic. But now I've got to a point where I've got an awful lot of books. Which books do I want to read? How much time have I got to read these books? Which books are important to me? Important in some way I don't understand? And the right answer, of course, is Dharma books. And of course, I'm going to read Dharma books, but anyway, I've come across the occasional Dharma book, which is grabbing me. But I found it easy. I started disposing. I take a plastic bag full of books with me downtown every time I go downtown and leave it at a charity shop. But there are some books that I haven't read yet, and yeah, it's like that. What do I really want to read? And I want to dispose of my clothes and my goods. I don't want to leave a mess behind, so that when I go, the door's gently closed and the room's empty, so to speak. I was very inspired by this quite a few years ago, where we had a window cleaning business, a right livelihood. And one of the chaps who we went and cleaned his house one week, and I didn't realise he was ill, but by the time it came to Friday and we went round to collect our fees, I knocked on his door, and the person next door opened her door, and she said, "Oh, he died, but he's left you his money." You know, just an ordinary guy doing an ordinary life, and yet I was really moved by that. I want to be like that. I want to be well prepared, but I don't know how much time I've left. You know, all of you may die before me. My situation is no different than yours. You may all die before me. And if I'm one of those 8%, I'll be in India in 6 years' time, and you'll be saying, "You were fooling us." Well, if I am there, it was just skillful means. I'm greater than I thought. Other issues that are arising are, where do I want to die? Several of us in the order have died, and I know some people. Somebody was telling me the other day about a woman in Germany who moved into the community to die, and this lady whose name I can't remember at the moment. Thank you. So I was talking to you, and how that was for the community, how it, you know, how the communal experience of somebody dying. I don't know how many people have withdrawn into their families. We heard yesterday of somebody where the family, they're in the family, and the family is, this is a strong word to use, but I'll use it, controlling our relationship with a fellow sister Dharmachari. I've raised this issue with Atra Shraddha, and I raised it in such a way that made her as angry as I've ever seen her. I do that occasionally. I'm stepping on her toes occasionally. My communication isn't skillful enough sometimes to raise these things. I woke up one morning and thinking, well, maybe I should die with the men. I was thinking of the story of the philosopher Socrates. Banti mentioned him in a talk many years ago I heard, and Socrates said goodbye to his wife and his family, and then he went off with his friends and took the poison with his friends. And I got a lot of feedback on that. But then I was talking to Nyona Ketu yesterday, and I've been thinking, I don't want Atra Shraddha to bear the whole burden. I want to share. You know, I want to share it with friends, both male and female. And he suggested, well, how about having a cooler of order members I've known and trust for a long time, and discuss this issue with the cooler. And it could be the chapter, but that wouldn't include some people that I would like to include. So I'm thinking along those lines. Maybe have a cooler. Maybe that's an idea that we can adopt and think. Well, how, you know, what do I want to do? Who can I bounce these ideas off? What will come out of it? So, I think that's the state of affairs for me at the moment. I don't want to be seen, as I'm sure most people don't want to be seen. Well, what I've noticed in people who aren't Buddhists, they become their illness. It's the way you relate to them. It's the main ground of communication. I'm living with cancer. I don't want to be cancer. I'm wholeheartedly not cancer. But actually, I will talk about it. But if I talk about it too much, you must tell me. You must say, actually, this is what I do to other people. I say, I'm bored now. I'm quite straightforward. If somebody's going on about something, I'll say, I'm bored now. You're telling me too much. Just stop. And by all means, just do that. Thank you.